Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
And good evening. Welcome to Signs of Life Radio. This is the special edition that we have once a month called The Gathering. And tonight's topic will be 2012, The Countdown Begins. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and I'm here with Tom and Melissa Gould and Fran Ginsberg. And hello, everybody.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, Bob.
That was a rousing... You woke me up.
The excitement begins.
Tonight's sponsor is, before I forget, L&R Productions. You could find them at lnrproductions.com. The number here, if you'd like to call in during the show, is 1-888-627-6008. And as we usually do, we'll start off with our topic, and we'll see where the conversation goes. And before we get started, let's go over some of the announcements that we have.
Well, I'm going to throw the announcements out to us all this time. So the first thing we want to let our listeners or remind our listeners of, particularly for this time of year, is our Visa credit card, our iGive.com links, and our Amazon.com links on our website.
Good ideas. Everybody's buying things now.
I just did yesterday. I went to the Forever Family Foundation website, and I found the Amazon thing with a little search button.
Yeah.
And you can type in whatever it is you're looking for. You hit go. Takes you to Amazon, and then you shop like you normally do, but then you're in the Forever Family realm.
And the cool thing about using that search thing is that when you do put stuff into your shopping cart on that day, if you go back, I think it's up to either 15 or 30 days, I'm not sure, but if you go back to your shopping cart, whatever was put in there on that day, we still get credit for it even if you buy it later on.
Oh, no. Very good.
So
no, I'm going to try something because I'm... very excited about Janet Mayer's new book, and I was going to include on my Facebook page a link to where you can buy the book. And so I was going to go to the Forever Family Foundation website, go to the Amazon, and then copy that link. Do you think that would work?
I don't know.
We'll have to find out.
But we can ask Amazon if there's a special link for Facebook. That would be cool.
Amazon, how cool. And the Anamami lives in the Amazon. So
yeah,
it worked.
Wow.
It worked.
It is funny.
How well it worked. So what you've got to do is first go to the Forever Family Foundation website, get your Visa credit cards, take the Visa credit card, get the iGive icon on your on the top of your web browsers. Every time you hit a store that you're shopping at that happens to be in the iGive store, automatically, without you having to go through iGive, and you name Forever Family Foundation as your charity of choice, without you spending any more money, we get to pay some of our bills. So that would be a wonderful thing, and we thank everybody for remembering to do that, particularly this time of year when people are spending a little more money than they normally do.
These are beautiful cards, too. They have the selection, but with the Forever Family logo and the clouds.
Oh, the Visa cards, yeah.
Yeah, very
nice. Right, right. And just to let you know, our biggest Amazon month this year was over $90. So let's see if we can't top that.
All right.
Okay.
This month.
I hope I
don't. Well, I got you started.
I might do it.
Oh, that was yesterday. It was November. Well, I'll have to buy some more stuff then.
You'll just have to go shopping again, that's all. So that's our story there. We also have our Holidays Past raffle, which, because of the issue we had originally with PayPal, we were unable to use the PayPal buttons, but they are up now. They're on the website. And so, to date, only 345 raffles have been sold. Usually at this point, we've got over 1,000 sold. So if you're not in this raffle, if you have not bought just one ticket for $5 that will enable you to win at least one of the five medium readings that are going to be raffled off on December 23rd, you got to get that ticket bought now.
And which mediums are offering the reading?
Our mediums that are offering the readings are Samara Angele, Angelina Diana, Rebecca Ann Lowe Cicero, Stephanie Ann Stevens, and Neil Sapowski.
Great.
And you can mail in your checks. It's $5 a chance, 5 chances for $20, 15 chances for $50, 35 chances for $100, and 100 chances for $200. And you can mail your checks to 222 Atlantic Avenue, Oceanside, New York, 11572, and make them payable to Forever Family Foundation, Inc. And then our last announcement is our Holidays Past events that are coming up, two on this Saturday, December 3rd. One is in New Jersey with Janet Nohavik, and the other one is in
Connecticut.
Bethel, Connecticut with Joanne Gerber. And I could tell you right now, if you want to increase your chances of getting a reading, the attendance at these are very low right now, and we're only a few days away. We're only 2 days away from this. In Connecticut, we have 23 people signed up. In New Jersey, 36. So you want to be one of those people in that seat when both Janet and or Joanne are doing those readings. We also have, on December 10th, Angelina Diana will be in Natick, Massachusetts with afterlife advocate Dave Kane. And there we only have 28 seats taken up.
We'll be there.
Yeah.
Come say hello to us.
Yes.
That's right.
Come meet Tom and Melissa in person.
That'll be a great evening because Dave Kane used to be a stand-up comedian long ago, but he's dealing with a very serious subject about the loss of his son. But I've seen his presentation, and it's just fascinating. He really is entertaining and at the same time delivering an important message. And, of course, Angelina Diana is really off the charts these days with her readings. That should be a very, very good night.
It's going to be a wonderful evening. And so if you haven't bought your tickets, you can get them at the door. They're $35 for members, $45 for non-members at the door, and there are plenty of seats available. So, and one last thing, if you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Okay, we're done.
All right. Well, before we go to our break, we mentioned that the topic tonight will start off with, 2012. We say a countdown. Sometimes people would tend to think of a countdown as something of a calamity, or something that's going to happen on a very specific date. And what we're talking about with the 2012 Mayan prophecy is that, according to one of their calendars, a long calendar, that on December 21st, 2012, it coincides with the winter solstice. And what that means is that the sun will be in perfect alignment with the center of the Milky Way, and it's the first time that's happened in 26,000 years. And it's said that will have a tremendous amount it would affect a lot of things, energy, consciousness, possibly, natural disasters. There could be solar flares. There could be many things. So we're going to be talking about, is it a doomsday prophecy, or, as many suggest, including many of today's Maya people, that they've been misinterpreted, and what's predicted is a shift, a change in consciousness, the way we view the world, and that possibly our intention and our thoughts and our actions can avert any possible negative effects and turn them all positive. So when we come back from the break, we're going to get right into that. So stay with us, and we will be back in a few.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio, and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Suzanne Goode, an award-winning certified professional and master photographer, is the owner of Goode Photography, a studio located in Long Island, New York for 25 years. She has devoted herself to creating timeless portraits and virtual paintings that capture the essence of a person in one single moment, forever lasting. She can use your photograph of a loved one or pet and transform it into a watercolor or canvas painting. You can view her work and email on her website, www.goodphotography.com.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. And we were talking about 2012. And one of the things that we've all read about this shift, and that it's not, you know, specifically going to happen on that date, but we're already in an era of change. And that things are already starting to happen. Now, we could look at physical things, you know, just look around the world, global warming and solar flares and volcanoes and everything down to genetic engineering and economic turmoil. And, boy, it sure seems that we're in some sort of a change. But when we talk about those things, so a lot of people say, well, this is Mother Nature revolting. You know, this is. Do you? I'll pose that question. I mean, do you think this is a physical phenomenon that just is happening because of maybe galactical alignment, or is this maybe there's something to it? You know, you think it's possible that Mother Nature, so to speak, or is making these things happen as a wake up call?
Well, I don't know so much as a wake-up call, but I think it would be unrealistic to expect things just to stay the same, you know, cycles and patterns of weather. I mean, look at all the changes that happened before our time. So I think it's something that's just a natural occurrence.
Or a physical occurrence, as you said. It's all gearing around the lining up of the sun and the earth and the Milky Way, and we know that the other planets do affect us, and, you know, gravitational pull and all that sort of thing. So when things are lining up in that way, you're going to get a little more volatile activity. The earthquakes, you know, earthquakes in New York, and now there's heavy winds out west and tsunamis and things like that. They're certainly more prevalent now in these last couple of years than they have been in the.
Well, they sure seem to be. I mean, you were reading.
I think you've got two things going on here. Yeah. I think you do have what the Mayans predicted. Well, they didn't predict. They were following. They were followers of the galaxies, and they knew more without the crazy telescopes that we have than we even know. And so what they have created in these calendars that they, and they had many calendars, and this is just one of the many calendars, but it happens to be a 26,000 year calendar. So they knew a hell of a lot more about the galaxy than we did. And I think that that's what this December 21st on our calendar corresponds with, which, by the way, is 385 days away. So that's one aspect of it. And the other aspect of, yes, Mother Nature is upset with us. There's no question about it. Everything, and we've discussed this before, everything is connected. We're all one consciousness. If you want to separate out Mother Nature, you can't do that. It's all one thing. And we have been culturally destroying everything that Mother Nature is part of our existence. And so soon we will have no pure foods left to eat. We will have no pure water left to drink. We won't have clean air left to breathe. And these are all of the given things that we started out with that were there to sustain us. So then the question is, how are we going to sustain ourselves?
Yeah, well, what's intriguing to me is that the Mayan people, the ancient people, as you mentioned, going back thousands of years, they had a very intricate system of mathematics. They had a very intricate grasp of galactical movements, you know. So now you say, how is that possible, you know? And but they also believed at the same time that there wasn't a separation between the physical and the spirit world.
That was exactly where I was going to go with the answers,
yeah.
Because they actually listened and heard from spirit. That's how they were able to come up with this, because they were told.
It makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah.
In fact, you know, I'm going to be throughout this hour focusing in on what I call the 1111, which is a phenomenon that I really don't understand, but I know that it's affecting me, that it's since 1992 I've been just involved in it, you know, kind of forced on me. And I'm reading the book that Janet Mayer just released called Spirits, They Are Present. And she has, if you follow the Forever Family, she is one of our certified mediums, who also suddenly, spontaneously started speaking the language of the shamans of the rainforest, the Yanomami tribe, for one. She speaks three or four different languages from that area. But she is channeling and getting messages from spirit that comes from the same part of the world as the Mayans. And in her book, she talks about some of the translations, and I don't know if I can jump in here with this. When I say that that I was besieged with the 1111, I'm a musician. I've mentioned this before. The first CD I released was called 1111, without any knowledge of any of this. It came by other means that we won't get into now. But there was a song on the album where the lyrics I wrote were, "We are unwelcome guests on a spiritual land, not caring for the wind, not trying to understand." And then just the other day, I'm reading Janet's book, and she had gotten her tapes. It had been 4.5 years that she had been speaking this language spontaneously. She didn't know what language it was, but she made recordings of it and sent it to universities and that and that. And finally, the Smithsonian Institute, there was a gentleman there who knew what she was speaking and then took it to South America to this tribe and had it translated. So I, with Janet's permission, she allows me to read a bit from this book. And the book is called Spirits, They Are Present by Janet Mayer on Author House Publishing. And one of the things that I, after I released this album, 1111, I went and did a radio show in Maine, and the DJ there said, "Oh, of course, the 1111." I said, "What do you mean, of course? Tell me about it." And she says, "Well, it's a Native American belief that the 1111 means that the ancestors are going to return to the earth and show us the way, which is, of course, the spiritual awakening we've all been talking about." And then I read from the translation from the language that Janet speaks through a shaman, and it says right here, "The world of dead is returning. The spirits brought us this message over the new earth. They are coming to talk to us. That is what spirits have promised." And later on in that translation, it just says, "Our message has to be heard. The wind will also send messages. We are all here, and we will stay here as long as we need." So that blew me away. It's kind of the culmination of, 18 years of trying to wonder what the 1111 is all about. And here I'm getting it straight from the spirit's mouth, from the shamans of the rainforest.
And incidentally, the winter solstice that we're talking about that's going to happen on, do you know what time that's going to happen?
Well, probably in 11:11.
Exactly at 11:11 a.m.
Wow.
December 21st.
Oh, see, and this is just interesting because there are many religions that keep people hostage over this return, being reunited with deceased loved ones. So I think that's another thing that's very, very interesting, you know, because we know, we see in these, in the religious jargon that they put out there where it seems to be they want to control their flocks. There's all of this...
dogma.
Yeah, that is just out there just to divert you from the truth of what really goes on. And speaking about mediums who write books, I'm excited about Doreen Malloy's new book that's going to come out, which is called Mass Deception, which is just about that. And I think the timing of her book is interesting to come out in 2012 as well. I think all of these things seem to be coming together at the same time. And when you talk about, when you read from there and you spoke about your experience about them wanting more and more of us to be communicating with them or that they will be communicating with us, look at all of these people who think all of a sudden they're mediums because they're getting communication. But there are hundreds and thousands of people that we're hearing of that are getting communications. And it's not that they're supposed to now quit their day job and become mediums. It's simply what you're reading in that book that the Yanomami have put forth, that listen to us, we're coming here to talk to you.
Well, the Mayan people, as well as some of the other ancient tribes, they believed, as I mentioned, you know, there's no separation between the physical and the spirit. They believed that they all built sacred sites that they thought connect the energy, and a lot of the Mayans believed that these sacred sites are going to be activated again, you know, when they believe also in as we just discussed, in getting information from their forefathers, and they the dreams were a meeting place. But you know, when we discuss some theories about what might happen if this does come true and it affects the solar flares, and you know how we all communicate by satellite today, you know, and that could have tremendous, you know, ramifications. But also from a scientific point of view, there's a thing called the Schumann resonance, and that it's a measurement of the electromagnetic energy that the Earth's frequency, and it's like a hum of the universe. And one theory would be that when we get closer to this winter solstice, that these solar flares will affect this amount of electromagnetic energy. The Schumann resonance, you know, has been increasing as we get closer to this thing. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, then started me thinking, well, what if that had an effect in us being able to communicate with each other and with spirit? You know, maybe it activates something that's latent in us, and it somehow increases our consciousness, or
changes the vibration of the earth.
Yeah,
which I think is what you're reading there in Janet's translation.
Yeah.
Well, do you? You know, I mean, again, a lot of people, we tend to be somewhat insulated, and the people that we, as a foundation, I'm talking about, and most of the people that we talk to, you know, they believe that there is an increase in spirituality, and there is an increase in people's ability to sense, you know, spirit, and people are recognizing that we're all interconnected. But do you think that's really true in the general public? I mean, are we moving closer to this knowledge? I mean, when I look around and you watch the news every night, or you read the newspapers, or you see what's going on in the world, people don't seem to be moving towards spirituality. Although, are these all these revolts and unrest a reaction by some who do recognize the importance of it to motivate people? And I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Look at all of the protesting that's going on throughout the world. Throughout mm-hmm. the world, we have a huge period of unrest, whether it was caused by some internal force that's telling them it's time to rise up, or it's just a reaction to the greed that's around us. You know, it's still part of this whole big thing. Mm-hmm. And wherever the stimulus is coming from to make people do what they're doing, I think you're going to end up with that same end. Yeah, there's going to be a bunch of people, probably the crazy bankers that started this problem to begin with, who are going to sit at the top, and this whole communication thing is going to pass them by because they're just not tuned into it. You still have to be tuned into it. You still got to be open to it in order to get it.
And I think you hit on something there, because, you know, they're constantly saying, well, you know, there are these people who are out there protesting, they don't have a real cause, they're just out there, but the common thread is exactly what you said. It's that the greed has gotten out of hand, and, you know, they all have different agendas, but pretty much all these protests are right on the same page with that the greed is killing us.
Right, and they can have a focus. See, that's the whole problem of that politically, and those are the finger pointers to begin with, to say, see, these people don't know what they're
right.
talking about, is because they don't have one specific thing to complain about. That's because there's thousands of things that are wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
There are, and they're taking away our constitutional rights one by one by
oh,
one.
Absolutely.
And those people on Wall Street and all the other protest areas, they know it, they're aware of it, and they don't like it. And that's causing a lot of the unrest. It's
yeah.
not that they don't have a focus. The focus is, you're taking away my rights as a person to exist on this earth.
Yeah.
Well, what about, I mean, a lot of people, interpret this whole 2012, you know, prophecy as the last chance that human beings have to align themselves, like, with the, you know, the cosmic plan. And by that, they mean that we all have to take action. You know, we have to take action in saving, you know, the earth, and also to recognize our interconnectedness with a fellow man and the universe. So, but what if I sat back and I said, well, I believe that everything has a purpose, and that everything is planned. So, you know, what's the point of me taking action? Or can I really change things? So the point is, you know, can we really change things, or is it just going to be what it is?
We've seen that we can change things, and not just from protesting and stuff like that, but I'm saying from changing your mind focus. I mean, we had Lynn McTaggart on a month or two ago, and she's done a huge amount of work on intention, and how your intention can change the outcome of something, even something that has already happened. So if you have all of these people worldwide protesting at the same time with the same focus of change, why could it not happen? Why couldn't we save Mother Earth? Why couldn't we turn around all the pollution? Look what Masaru Emoto does with water.
Well, also, so we're talking about, you know, saving the Earth, you know, which is a small part of it, certainly not the center of the universe, right? So, and we're also assuming that, that we get information from spirit and that in some respect they're helping, you know. Why does spirit want to help us? You know, they see a much bigger plan, you know, but why do we keep talking about saving the Earth? Is that because that's the only thing that we as humans have the power to do? Or, you know, we tend not to think in global terms. You know, I just sometimes wonder, the spirits sit back and say, well, what if disaster happened to Earth? I mean, how would that change the spirit world?
I'm wondering if we're being inspired by spirit to rise up and change, and some of the protesters, you know, they're jumping on the bandwagon because they know change has to occur, but maybe they're being inspired and they don't actually even, they just know they've got to rise up, but their direction isn't
One of the things that I've brought up a few times, it's a reoccurring theme of mine, is that perhaps this, our 100 years or less in this physical plane is a vacation from the spiritual world, that we're going here so that we can, like an amusement park, we can feel things, we can taste things, we can, you know, just exist. And the Earth is a gift for that. It's the premier resort that you want to go to. So spirit's saying, hey, when it's my turn to go to the Earth, I want to go there to enjoy all these things. So you have to be more Earth-honoring people here. Mm-hmm. So it could be as simple as that.
I like that. I think he's on to something.
Well, and I thought you were going to say, enlighten up. Don't take everything so seriously because you're on a holiday.
Well, that's another theme of mine. People are here on vacation, and yet they spend their whole time worrying about how they're going to get home.
But see, that's the other part of the spiritualism, is to be in the moment and to allow things to happen around you rather than being there and taking things so seriously that you have to be in control and you have to be on top of everything.
Right. And in fact, yeah, we just talked about it a few minutes ago, talking about, well, what can we do to change things, or what can we do? We're not supposed to be here to change things. We're supposed to be here to, as you say, live in the moment, enjoy the moment, and spirit saying, you know, honor the Earth so that it's so enjoyable, so your moments are more enjoyable. It comes down to that.
So on December 21st, 2012, everybody enjoys the moment.
I can't.
Let's start a campaign. Let's write that down. That's our tagline.
It's funny how we talk about recognizing, you know, connectedness to everybody and the universe, and it's very recent that the internet came into being, and in many respects it's wonderful. You know, you have instant knowledge and instant communication, but I think it inhibits free thinking, you know, and exploration, because all the information is at your fingertips. You don't have to develop any thoughts of your own, so to speak. You know,
that's the other interesting thing, is that when we have these sunstorms, they will knock out all of our satellites, and guess what? We won't.
That's what we think about.
I want to have this radio show.
Well, you know, just think about that scenario. You know, so there's no communication, and we're back to what the ancient people knew, and all of a sudden we start hearing each other's thoughts. You know, and I shouldn't say all of a sudden. We gradually develop it. So we're going to go to our second break. Stay with us, when we come back, we're going to be talking more about 2012 and the countdown. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is ATRANSC.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to the Gathering of Signs of Life Radio. Number here is 1-888-627-6008. We were talking about things that may or may not happen as we get closer to this winter solstice alignment in 2012. The date is December 21st, 2012 at 11:11 a.m., but many believe that we're already in that cycle of change and that they look at it as an awakening of a golden age, so to speak, instead of a dire, prediction. Might be a little of both. And people talk about we should be recognizing and looking out for these changes that are taking place, looking out for awakening in our own ability. Do you find yourself being more telepathic? Are there more synchronicities? They say also people are starting to feel an urge to spend more time in nature. Any of these things ring true to you guys?
Oh. Every one of them.
Really?
tell them what just happened.
Before we headed over here to do the program with you, we were watching Jeopardy! And one of the contestants, he had an unusual last name that Alex Trebek stumbled over a little bit. His name was Zavolsky, starting with a Z, V, Zavolsky. I may not be pronouncing it correctly, but at any rate, moments before I joined Tom in watching the program, I was reading a little blurb in Reader's Digest magazine, and they put little humorous true stories in, and it was about a fellow in the service, and he was never called for KP duty, and he he asked the ensign, why not? And the fellow said, well, what's your name? And he said, Zavolsky. And he said, well, that's why I can't spell your name, let alone pronounce it. And then moments later.
Zavolsky, how many Zavolskys have you seen in your lifetime? So things like that. And coming over here, we were running a little late. And we go past our local park to get here, and the traffic lights on both ends of the park, if you're caught by them, you'll sit there for 3 minutes or so. And tonight, for the first time, we sailed through both of them.
We said maybe we'll be lucky, and
yeah.
We were.
So, you know, things, yeah. And I definitely have been noticing the more spiritual things coming up. And one point that I did want to make, and where the wind, I'll bring back the wind again, is the thing about the wind, and our friends in California will balk at this, but it's subtle. I'm certainly not subtle in California today, but for most part, when the wind delivers a message, it's not beating you over the head with it. It's not fireworks, and it's not a huge thing. And the change, you know, everybody's probably going to have, well, not everybody, but I'm sure there are going to be a lot of parties and a lot of people gathering together on December 21st next year, and they're going to sit there at 11:11, and the clock's going to go by, and everybody's going to stare at each other and go, well, nothing, I guess that didn't happen, you know. And I bring that up because me being an 11:11 guy for 18 years now, 19 years, of course we had November 11, 2011. So we had 11:11:11, and my brother wrote me an email saying, I noticed it. I sat there and I watched 11:11:11 a.m. on 11:11:11. And nothing happened, but I was thinking about you and that, and then I explained to him that, and particularly since we've been going down this spiritual journey, the thing I have noticed is that it is subtle. The changes are subtle. I mean, I can look now and then look back at where I was 10 years ago before I got, you know, seriously into this this path of study, and I can tell a difference. I can see the difference over the 10 years, but is there any one spot where all of a sudden I go, wow, I'm more enlightened? No, it's a gradual thing. And especially if you're talking about a whole age of awareness coming on, it's not going to come overnight. It's not going to happen at the stroke of midnight or the stroke of 11:11. It's just, as you say, and I told my brother, I said, well, you know what, the 11:11:11 that we just experienced last month is the beginning of it. You know, it's like the tide is changing and it's coming in. Sit there and watch the tide change sometime. Do you see it happen? No, you never see it happen, but all of a sudden you're standing in water after being on the beach.
Right.
That's what it's all about.
And that's why their calendars were not based on linear time. You know, everything was based on cycles, you know, and so, you know, we're in a cycle that's coming to an end. But it's also the beginning of another cycle, you know. So, I think, as you say, Tom, if we're thinking of when we wake up on December 22nd that we're going to be completely different than we were on December 21st, I think that's a mistake. But these subtle things, one of the things, probably the most important subtle change would have to do with empathy, and, you know, and compassion. Are we more... do we have more empathy for nature and for animals and for people than we did, you know, 100, 200 years ago? I mean, have you noticed that change? You certainly don't see it if you just look at the conflicts, you know. But then again, we don't know how people feel inside. You know, these are not things that a lot of people talk about. So, I mean.
But then even 20 years ago or so, when you think about, meatpacking houses and slaughterhouses and that sort of thing, that, you know, everybody just said, oh, give me my hamburger and I'm fine. But there's more and more you're seeing people who do care and say, look, you know, this is not right. And then you get the documentaries and and that, and people actually putting their own money up to say, you know, let's change this. So it's all the awareness, and there is a change in awareness.
Yeah. One of the things that's kind of fascinating about the Mayans, when you read up on them and you see that some of the Mayan artwork, I was just looking at a book here, they have some very intricate, you know, designs of complicated, you know, geometric shapes, and those same designs are turning up in, you know, you've heard about crop circles, you know, and I know. You know, with crop circles, that a great many of them are man-made, you know, and they are easily explainable. And a lot of people have admitted to it and have gotten caught, you know, doing these things. But others are so, you know, amazing that it would take even, you know, when you bring in engineers with today's technology, they don't see, even if they were trying to do it, how they could do it. And you wonder whether, you know, the our ancestors, whether it be the Mayans or the Yanomami or whatever, are sending these symbols, or actually, you know, putting them into the ground as a sign, you know, of awakening. You know, these things in our linear time have been happening over, you know, the last couple of decades, which is nothing in a 26,000-year cycle. So, you know, now that we're coming to the end of this cycle and the beginning of another one, I don't know, when you think of, I think most people just dismiss, you know, crop circles, but I kind of think that there's something to a lot of them. But then, isn't it like a lot of the phenomena we talk about, you know, there's a lot of fraud in, you know,
in everything.
I mean, there are fraudulent mediums, you know, and then there, sure. And then there are the legitimate ones.
And there are fraudulent bankers and legitimate
ones. Yeah. But you know what the thing about, you, when you mention that there are fraudulent mediums, there has to be real mediums for frauds to work.
Right. That's true.
Yeah. Well, and I know we've talked about that before with mediums, but, you know, some of the greatest mediums in history have resorted to, you know, to fraud in some aspects of their work, even though they were incredible mediums. And then you ask why, you know, why would they do that? And
well, there was an explanation for it, and that was that because it was frowned upon by many, that it was portrayed then as entertainment. And so when somebody, even if they did it seriously, would call into a medium into their home and have friends over, there had to be that element of entertainment that was going to go on. So they had to perform. And that accounted for the mix of trickery and real mediumship.
And plus, they're human, and they get caught up in the notoriety of what they're doing, and also that it can be lucrative. So you start to find ways to make it more lucrative because you're enjoying the trappings that come with that. And yeah, I mean, just being human, you're going to have people who are going to take advantage.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is not necessarily fraud. You know, there are mediums, we tend to think of them, we put them in positions when they have to act, as you say, like performers, you know, so they think that they have to keep things going, so they might, you know, you're not connected to spirit in a live wire where it's constant flow of information, so you have some dead time. So, you know, you're human, you have an ego, you tend to try to fill in that dead time with your own interpretation, and sometimes that's how, you know, mediums get into trouble. But as you say, their mediums are no different, you know, than the rest of us, and they have the same pressures. But did you ever think, so we mediums give us all this information and evidence, and some of it, you know, uncanny evidence, very specific. And why, especially today, they don't get information about what it's like in the afterlife, or our ancestors are not sending messages about, you know, for instance, we were talking about communicating with our forefathers, like in the ancient tribes. You know, you don't get messages about, you know, the earth, and I guess there's a reason for that. is that, you know, their purpose is to connect with a specific loved one. And if you're talking in general terms, how are you going to know where's the proof, you know? Mm-hmm. Where's the specific evidence? So you need the specific evidence. But I often wonder why mediums are not given impressions of what life is like in an afterlife. I never hear that from any of the mediums.
And you know what I think? Yeah. It's because we're looking for an explanation. Well, what's heaven like? Or what's that, where you've gone over to the other side, what's the other side like? And they're saying, there is no other side. We're still here. It's just that, you know, we're spirit, we're energy, but you want to know what it's like? Look outside. That's what we look at outside just like you look at outside, except we can go up 100 miles and look down at it if we want to. It's, you know, that's what the difference is we can go faster. We can go to Mars if we want to hang out in Mars. We can come back here in an instant. We can go back to the 16th century, but it's still Earth. Which brings us back to our theme here. We have to be Earth honoring, because even when we're dead, we're going to still want to be around the Earth, and we're going to still want to look at flowers and trees and people, and we want it to be a nice place.
But I have heard it said on several occasions that it's more real than real as a description. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Everything that Tom said, more real than real.
Yeah, which makes sense, because, you know, I mean, especially as we age, I'm noticing now, you know, I don't see very well, and I don't, you know, I can't run like I used to run, you know, and I've got more aches and pains. So, yeah, when you the body can only do so much for us, and we've all talked about how Seth says, you know, your human brain can't understand what I could tell you, and you know, kind of, you know, one of these days looking forward to being able to function on the level where you can see better and understand more.
Yeah, you know, I keep thinking, you know, that phrase, you know, as what is it, as above, as below, so, you know, so, and we're talking about, like, the civilizations like the Mayans, and how could they have this intricate knowledge of like, the solar systems? And then you look at, you know, weren't you struck when you went to school and you look at the model of the atom, you know, and what does the atom look like? It looks the same as the model of the solar system, you know. So, you know, so they really did recognize that at the elemental level, you know, we're the universe is the same as the atom, you know. So this knowledge is always fascinating. My hope with as we get closer to this event is that a lot of the portals that are now closed, you know, are going to open, you know, not like a flower, you know, but very subtly, and we may be seeing signs of that, but maybe we should plan a trip, and as it gets closer in December, we should go visit the pyramids, you know.
I don't know, with what's happening in Egypt, do you mean that one?
Yeah.
Well, the Mayans had built pyramids of their own, and they built them very specifically, and they have supposedly are aligned, you know, with the Earth's ley lines as a transmitter of energy. And if we're talking about an energy awakening, that's where I want to be. I want to be near one of those sacred sites that's close to it. So.
Just one other point I'd like to make is because we have another reoccurring theme is how we talk about how organized religion is kind of blocking the spiritual growth. And I just want to say that we're not against the religions. I think if you are Catholic or Jewish or Muslim or Buddhist, and you go to your scripture and you read the words of the scripture, the words of your prophets, they're right in line with this spiritual development. It's not the religion that is the problem. It is the humans who are using the religion as a tool to control people. And that's what we object to, not to any one religion at all.
Yeah. Right, and it brings us back to the same thing, prayer.
Yes.
Prayer will get you there, because prayer is meditation.
Right. And we have discussed, when you look at all the scriptures of all of the religions, the overwhelming theme is light, you know, and then that's the physicists are talking about today is, you know, light being the means by which we're all connected. So, I agree with you, Tom. It's what we do with the knowledge, and we can all have our own religions, you know. But there is a difference between being a spiritual person and being a religious person. I don't see why you can't be both. You know, you could practice your religion and just not subscribe to the dogma. And how are we doing with time, Francis?
Well, we've got about 2 minutes left.
Okay.
If you want to wind it down.
We have next week's guest, I believe, is Dr. Lou LeGrand.
Right.
And
with his new book on grief.
Yeah, he's been on the show, hasn't been on the show in quite some time, but he's a very well-known expert in grief. His past books have been on, one of them at least, has been on afterlife extraordinary encounters, you know, how people report encounters with other dimensions and deceased loved ones. This book is focusing mainly on ways of coping with grief, and I think practical coping mechanisms, since a great many people in our audience, you know, are bereaved, you may find this pretty helpful. So to sum up, we take a consensus. Do we think something bad is going to happen, or are we thinking transformation is going to happen as we approach
transformation, the new awareness, the utopian society?
I agree. Yep, I'm for that.
Are you totally convinced?
Totally convinced.
Well, why are you always saying I shouldn't pay enter into any business agreements until
because
after?
I don't think this is going to be about business. This is going to be about consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be about consciousness, and those people that can get their minds all unified at that same time, or learn how to do it, and are able to go there to be in the moment, to be at peace, are the ones that are going to make it through this shift. And those people who are sitting on the sidelines with their toys, it's going to pass them by.
So it might be a little bit of a weeding out process, you think?
Maybe.
Okay. Well, we'll end it at that. I hope that we are not part of the weed age.
I know. Hard work.
All right. I just want to ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of the recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Vicki Steffi, Judy Lachman, Wendy Lippo, Kathy Ward, Francis Mastracco, and anybody else out there who is receiving this healing tonight. Now let's give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures in Mexico Gulf and all the waters of the world by praying like this: to the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, plankton, coral, algae, and all creatures in our Gulf and all waters everywhere, I apologize, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. That was by Masura Umoto with a little bit of addition by me back on May 9th, 2010 with the Gulf tragedy.
And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.